Welcome to Down Trails of Victory podcast, brought to you by Wrinkle Ford Creative Arts, the podcast that is seeking undiscovered stories from the trails of Southeast Texas. Your host is Dr. John Buck Ford, author of Down Trails of Victory, and his podcast partner, Judge Brad Burnett. Now sit back and enjoy today's special guest as we learn how they left their mark and influence on Southeast Texas.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of Down Trails of Victory podcast. This is Buck Ford, along with my podcast partner, Brad Burnett. Judge Burnett, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Buck. Doing great today, and I'm glad I can make it. Appreciate you setting it up where we could do it in the afternoons, and I'm really looking forward to our guest today.
Oh, Brad, this is something I've been looking forward to for a long time. Today's guest, Brad, is a true Southeast Texas legend, and I'm so excited that he's agreed to be on our show. Brad, today's guest is a 1956 graduate of Needland High School. And Brad, not only that, but he played football for the Bulldogs during their glory days of the 1950s under legendary coach Bum Phillips. But it didn't end there, Brad, because after graduating from Needland High School, he went to Tyler Junior College and made All-American. But it didn't end there, because after he went to Tyler Junior College, he went to the University of Alabama, where he made All-Southeast Conference, both ways, I might add, under legendary coach Bear Bryant. And his senior year, he was a captain of the University of Alabama Crimson Tide. And Brad, following that up, our guest went on to like a 45-plus year career where he coached at all the levels from pros, colleges, high schools, administrative levels. And at this time, it is an honor to introduce to our listeners a true Southeast Texas icon, Coach Leon Fuller. Coach Fuller, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor for you to be with us, sir. Coach Fuller, as a nod to our friends in Needland and to your fans as well, sir, I'd like to set the tone for today's show with a little inspirational music, which I think most Bulldog fans will recognize. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Coach, some relate that to the only the Aggie fight song, but being raised in Mid-County, as Buck and I both have, that's the Needland Bulldogs fight song there.
It is.
But as Buck was saying, was wanting to take you back to the early years, like growing up in Needland in the 40s, mm-hmm. in the 50s. What was that like?
Well, I was really had a kind of a difficult time right then because my older brother, Ollie Ray, was in the service. And he was who I was living with in Nederland for the time that I'd been there. And they had to move, my sister-in-law, and practically like my mother, had to move to San Antone because he was stationed there. So then when that happened, we happened to have good friends of my older brother, the McNeils, Jerry McNeil.
Okay.
Was living right there, and he took me in. So I lived a semester with Jerry and Benny, and really very fortunate for me that they were able to do that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, Coach, you mentioned the McNeils, and I happened to have a long talk yesterday with Jerry McNeil. You know, he's still around.
Oh, yeah.
And he And he described it. Now, he was a pretty young man, but he said when you moved in with him, he complimented you, what a good person you were. And I don't think he and his wife had been married very long. But he told me the whole story. And matter of fact, you talked about your sister-in-law, Dot. She works at Broussard's Funeral Home, which is the old McNeil Homestead in Nederland right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she's really something. Have you talked to, she calls herself your aunt. Have you talked to Aunt Dot lately?
Yes, and she's always here. She comes up as often as we can get her up here. Yeah, we enjoy having her here to spend some time with us.
Well, you know, Buck mentioned we were talking about the 40s and the 50s. Now, the families that are still strong there, and I see them all the time, are the Dornbosses, uh-huh. Of course, the McNeils, uh-huh. And the Rainsters.
Yes.
Did you know some of those family members way back then?
Oh, yeah. Byron Rainster was one of my best friends. And
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We actually have the same birthday. So
okay,
and we've been close all through our high school career and before that, and since we've been out of school,
is that
we're still
right?
Good friends. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a unique place, and anytime I run into any of those folks, especially the more senior ones, they know all about Leon Fuller, and that's why Buck and I are excited to have you on today.
I was just going to say, they're probably a much older group that you're talking about there.
Well, you know, you say they are, but now, Mr. McNeil, you lived with Mr. McNeil, okay? Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And he is, I don't know, he's close to 90, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But we better not go into his age and his wife's age. We'll get in trouble. But, Buck,
yeah,
it's back to you. You had a question. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Coach Fuller, I thought we'd talk a little bit about your experiences at Nederland High School. And as I said in the introduction, you know, you played there at Nederland where these were true glory days for Bulldog football. The Bulldogs just dominated their opponent, made deep playoff runs in their pursuit of a state title. And just starting off here, the head coach of the Bulldogs during this time was Bum Phillips. And what are your thoughts on Bum Phillips?
Well, Bum was like a father figure to me, and it didn't matter how long I was out of high school. If I ever had anything come up that was real important for me to make a decision, and if I ever made the wrong decision, like I was at Tyler Junior College and had visited around a bunch of schools because we happened to have a good football team, so it wasn't that I was so good, but I had a lot of places to visit. And I had one that I decided was going to go to Georgia and play at the University of Georgia. And when that got out, the next thing I know, I get a phone call, and somebody said, phone. I said, well, who is it? And they said, well, it's Coach. And so I said, well, hang on. And I ran down there to get him. And I said, Coach, what's up? And he said, what is this about you're going to go to school in Georgia?
Oh. Wow.
And I said, well, you know, Coach, he said, no, you're not. You're going to go to Alabama.
Dadgum. Wow.
Bum Phillips told you this, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. But he had told me a lot of things before that, so that wasn't unusual.
Well, did you argue with him?
No.
Or did you just say, yes, sir?
No, I said, yes, sir, if that's what you think. And as usual, wow, he was always right.
Had you already talked to Bear Bryant? Had you met him before this conversation with Bum?
Well, I can't really say he knew who I was. I'd met him, you know, a time or two and kind of been in and out of places where he was and was introduced to him a couple of times. But I don't think I was real high on their recruiting list to get me to go to school there.
Okay.
And you had to stop and say, well, what's going on? And, well, I weighed 156 pounds.
Wow.
And I wouldn't have recruited me either, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you made a splash there. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, right, Buck?
Yeah. Coach, you know, you talk about Bum Phillips, mm-hmm, took an interest in you. He called you while you were at Tyler. What was it like playing football for Bum Phillips? I mean, what was he like when y'all in game preparation, you know, getting y'all ready for football games?
Yes.
But what was it like playing football for him?
Well, he had the most common sense for all problems that came up and all kids. He could handle anybody in such an amazing way that when he got through, you knew what he wanted you to do was absolutely right. And, you usually did it. He was a great guy to play for and to be associated with.
Yes, sir.
You know, but can I ask him another question about Dorothy Fuller?
Yeah.
She told me a story, Coach, and I'd like for you to respond. And she is a storyteller, by the way. If you ever get a chance to go by Bruce R. Funeral Home, ask for her. She's something. She told me that for a while you stayed with Bum, and you were responsible for taking Bum Phillips' son, Wade, to school. You were supposed to do that. And later in the morning, the school called Coach Bum Phillips and told him that Wade never made it to school. Do you remember that story? Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was the one responsible for getting him to school. And, you know, and I drove him, you know, over. You know, we drove in front of the school, and it was before school started, and all these kids were running around. It was elementary school, and kids were running around everywhere. And I said, okay, Wade, see that door over there? That's the door. You need to go through that when the bell rings, and they'll tell you where to go. So I get in the car and drive off, you know. I go back to school, and I barely get in, back, park the car, because I didn't really – I had an hour class. So you can imagine I drove down around town and drove around, killed as much time as I could. Finally drove back to school, you know. I thought, well, about an hour is about up. So I try to – you know, I go in there, and sure enough, it was I'd wasted too much time, and they were looking for me, and I was in a whole lot of trouble.
Oh, Lord. Well, what was your reaction when you heard that Coach Bum Phillips was questioning you about where is his kid? You were supposed to drop him off, right?
Oh, Wade, yeah. Yeah, I drove Wade in there and told him where to go, and then went back to school and sat down at my desk, and then, you know, everybody started coming, running in, won't know where Wade was. And I said, well, he's at school. Yeah. They all said, no, he's not. So he had taken off, as soon as I drove out, he had gone back home. Walked all the way back home, and then I didn't even know he knew the way, so...
Oh, man.
But I hope you didn't get in too many situations like that while you're in high school, Coach Fuller.
Well, I got more in my share, but...
Yeah.
Well, there's not many things that you can do worse than losing your head football coach's son at elementary school. That's a big deal.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's pretty exciting, when they don't know where he is. But he shows up, and, he just went back home.
There was lots of assistant coaches too, right? Of course, working with your high school team. I don't know how many coaches they had. Buck, you were trying to look that up, huh?
Yeah. One of the assistant coaches, I see if you remember this gentleman, but he was a Port Neches graduate. He played for Port Neches, but he went on to coach at Neyland, Vernon Ramke. They called him Hoss.
Yeah.
You remember Hoss. Vernon Ramke?
Oh, yeah. I remember him very well. He was a great coach. I'm surprised that he got out of coaching. He was so good at it. You know, I figured he'd be a coach for the rest of his life, but I think he got tired of some of the hard things you have to put up with a bunch of kids like me.
I think he was a line coach or something, wasn't he?
Well, he was a line coach when he was, coaching on a staff, but he could coach anything.
Yeah.
When he got to Nederland, he handled anything.
Yeah.
He coached our baseball team along with the football and other thing else. He was also our baseball coach. And every year we went as far as you could go at that time was quarterfinals in baseball. So he was an excellent football coach and baseball coach.
I'm glad you brought that up, Coach Fuller, because when we were doing our research and everything, we saw that you were pretty good on a baseball diamond yourself. Y'all had good teams.
Yeah, we did. We did. And I think I was more lucky. The pitchers just kind of hit the bat at the right time, and I ran as fast as I could around some of the bases, you know.
Yes, sir. You know, another one of the coaches that is well-known in Nederland, I don't think he lived his whole life in Nederland, but Emmett McKenzie was an assistant coach for the Bulldogs when you were there. And after Bum Phillips left in 1957, Emmett McKenzie became the head coach and ended up riding that Bulldog wave all the way to a state championship in 1957.
Right.
What are your thoughts on Emmett McKenzie?
He was a great coach. He was my first coach I ever had, and that started in junior high. And he was my junior high coach. And as I kind of moved up, he kind of moved up along with me in the coaching ranks and to get on into high school. But he was the first real coach I had starting out. He was very, very good. Great coach.
Like yourself, he's very well respected in the community down there.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
I have another one, Coach. How about Chief Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
I think he was an assistant on bump staff. That was when you were there, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Chief was, you know, with a name Chief, you would expect him to be an Indian.
Right.
And you look at him, he's a full-blood Indian, and he had a huge scar through his lip.
Really?
And he was the meanest-looking guy I had ever met.
Oh, boy.
But he turned out to be one of the best coaches I'd ever been around in my life. He's really great.
I remember Coach Chief Wilson when he was at Bridge City.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they won the 3A state championship, I think, in 1966
yeah.
with mm-hmm. the famous Steve Wooster.
Yeah.
And Coach Wilson ran that all the way to the state championship game. They probably made the playoffs all 3 years that Steve was there. But I've met him, too, way back, and he was a remarkable guy.
Yeah. Talking about Neyland football and everything, looking back at the fall of 1954, your junior year, we're going to talk a little bit about Port Neches Neyland rivalry here, Coach Fuller. Your junior year, Neyland and Port Neches, they resume a football rivalry after a seven-year hiatus.
Yes.
The communities had not played each other for 7 years. Evidently, the rivalry had become so intense and ugly that they decided not to play. But with Bum Phillips and Gene McCollum, the head coaches at Neyland and Port Neches, they got together. They said, look, no, we're not going to have this ugliness. We're going to have a good, heated rivalry, and we're going to resume it. But it's going to be one based on respect. You were a junior in that 1954 season when they renewed the rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And when y'all played Port Neches in 54, Port Neches was a defending Class 3A state champion.
Right, right.
Neyland was a dominant Class 2A ball club. Y'all were in a lower classification.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, Down Trails of Victory, Bum Phillips, when reflecting on that rivalry, is quoted as saying, quote, the kids in our backfield were Leon Fuller, 126 pounds, Larry Minaldi, 137 pounds, George Eisenman, 127 pounds, and D.D. Perkins, 118 pounds.
Yeah, that's right.
None of them were bigger than a minute, but they were a scrappy bunch. And here's the question here, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
What was the Neyland-Port Neches rivalry like when you were at Neyland? And what are your remembrances of those Neyland-Port Neches football games?
Well, I can tell you this. Port Neches was a 3A school, and we were a 2A school. And they always went in the playoffs deep, well, no matter what year it was. They were an excellent, well-coached, great players on their team. And the thing about it was, I really never had talked to anybody from Port Neches because we weren't supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, they were afraid we were going to break out in a fight. And so they told us to stay on our side of the dividing line. And I was sitting at a track meet. And the guy sitting next to me was from Port Neches, and it was Riley Burnett.
Okay. Uncle Riley.
All right.
I started talking to him, and gosh, we turned out to be tremendous friends, and right now he's one of my very best friends. And
Great story.
We just had a good time together, and that really was a surprise to me because I thought him coming from Port Neches, he'd be a real jerk, but he wasn't.
You know, they still think that way, Coach. I don't know what it is about those guys.
We better not say that.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
they are recording this thing, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we hope they're listening to it, you know. But as we've all gotten older, we're so much alike now that it's not like that anymore. We're all friends, and it's just an interesting tradition and culture that we have right there in Mid-Jefferson County, especially And that's what this podcast is all about. Folks like yourself, we're just capturing some of this beautiful history.
Well, it was great for me. There are a lot of things that went on that if hadn't been for the people involved with it, like you're talking about, Bum, and he ended up being like a father figure to me, and Dot, my sister-in-law, was like my mom, so they all had to drag me around and try to keep me straight, and it wasn't easy for any of them, but, you know, I live with the McNeils, and they managed to get through that, so I guess they can do just about anything.
Well, Jerry, if he didn't tell me once, he told me three or four times yesterday about how much he thought of you, Coach. He really does.
Well, I wouldn't have made it if it hadn't been for him and Benny. It was great that they were able to help me out so much, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, Coach, I think I need to add before we move away from that Port Neches-Neyland rivalry, to give Neyland their due, Neyland beat Port Neches both your junior and senior year. I mean, I don't think you mentioned that, but that is a feather in their cap.
They were a great football team, and being a 3A team, you know, they were just bigger and stronger and faster than we were. And I tell you the truth, it had to be great coaching on Bum's part and everybody that was there at that time to get us through that, because they certainly didn't have very good athletes to try to beat Port Neches, but we were able to do it.
Before we go on further than that, but you did say it had to be great coaching.
Yep. And I hope you're mentioning your dad, but yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
What I was going to say on that is, Coach Fuller, you were a defensive coordinator, so you're familiar with defense, but Brad and I, we didn't walk the sidelines during the 1950s. We're just picking up things that we read about or listen about. One of the things they say is that Bum Phillips invented the numbers defense, you know, and
Yes, he did.
27 defense or whatever, and I'm sure that if teams hadn't figured out what Neyland was putting out there on the defensive line, I mean, they couldn't call up somebody else and say, hey, what defense is Neyland going to run? Because Bum Phillips invented it.
Yes.
I'm sure that type of preparation, I mean, can you maybe think back and, I mean, do you reflect on that defense that he invented and how it helped y'all in y'all's games preparations and success on the football field or anything?
Well, one of the things is how you communicate. One of the biggest things with a football team and players is being able to communicate with each other and for the coaches to communicate with you. It's something that you have to have. And just the thing that he came up with was like the numbers defense is like they call it the 27 defense. The two is where the tackles, the position and the technique the tackles played. And the seven technique is the position that the ends played. And so it communicated with them, you know, as you go along. And he started all that, but it wasn't long before you couldn't go to any staff in the state of Texas that wouldn't sit down and say something like, well, in the 27, you know, they just all went to it because it was so easy to communicate with people and for everybody to learn it. It was just an amazing thing to watch how well it worked out.
Yes, sir.
It wouldn't have worked out if it hadn't been for Bum. You know, I can tell you that.
Sure. Well, your junior year, 1954, fall of 1954, your playoff team went on a deep run. Do you have any thoughts on that 1954 team or the playoff run that they had or anything like that? They ended up winning by district, regional, tying Freer 28-28 in the quarterfinal. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that team?
Well, I have some bad thought in that we lost the toss and didn't get to go on, but they did. And it was just something that seemed like every year we would end up going into the quarterfinals, and it would always run up against some really good football teams when we were doing that. And I hate to think if I was coaching Nederland and had somebody, a skinny little guy like me out there running around trying to beat some of those good players, I don't know what I'd do.
That was your junior year, right?
Yes.
54, 55, I guess would be your senior year. And again, went to the bi-district, went to regional, and lost to Weslaco.
Yeah.
And that was a good run both years. And it worked out well to you. Do you ever see any players or anybody back from your high school, your track team or baseball team or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, I do. I go back to the, you know, they have the school get-togethers now and invite all the old guys back. And so I get to see a lot of them that come back for that. But I don't get to spend a lot of time with them because I haven't been, you know, right around the same area they're in all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Coach Fuller, we were doing research, getting ready for this podcast. I came across a picture of you on a mile relay team when you were at Needland.
Yeah.
And, they, you know, four Bulldogs. And, well, the producer of this podcast, Down Trails of Victory podcast, is Wanda Carol Wrinkle Ford. She's the love of my life. She's helping produce the podcast. She's been in real contact with your wife, Pam, and getting this thing ready. In that mile relay picture, of which you were a member, you're standing right next to a runner named Jimmy Wrinkle. And that's our producer's uncle. That's my wife's uncle.
Is that right?
You know, what are your thoughts on Jimmy Wrinkle?
Oh, he was a guy that was a natural for running track, I can tell you that, and he could do a lot of other things. He was a great athlete, but he had such a great stride. You know, when you can see somebody run a quarter mile, they don't just get out and kind of run. You have to lengthen your stride out and cover more ground, and you have to have the ability to do that.
Yes, sir.
They always wanted me to run the 440 back then. That's what it was, and it's a 400 now, I guess. Anyway, it was something that was hard for me to do. I couldn't lengthen my stride. I didn't have much of a stride to start with, but, you know, I didn't run real well in long distances, like quarter mile or half mile. So it was a interesting thing for me to try to do it.
Yes, sir. Well, in that picture, it does look like he is the taller one of the relay team.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
And you weren't the shortest.
Well, I thought I was, but I could, and looking at that, it looked like Manaldi was. I saw that picture.
Yeah, it looks like Manaldi was short. But he must have been good. I mean,
was that Larry Manaldi?
Yeah, Larry. He must have been a long way from the camera because he's not
I
that
short.
I knew
Larry Manaldi. Larry was a stocky, tough dude, man.
Oh,
Larry Manaldi. And that's another old Needland name, family name back in those days, too. The Manaldis. I have lots of those friends live out there in Needland still.
Well, that's true. And he was a great athlete. He was one of those guys that could do a lot of things.
Yeah. You know, Coach, what he always talked about, I remember now, is baseball. He loved baseball.
Right.
In fact, I think he might have played a little college baseball, junior college or something.
I'm not sure, but he could have, I thought. He was a good enough athlete to do it.
His kids were good athletes.
Yeah. And I played all four sports in those days, football, basketball, baseball, and track. And I didn't know that I didn't have to play all four of them. You know, I didn't know I had a choice in any of that.
Yeah.
Bum said, oh, you're playing it. And so I ended up playing all four sports. And it was really good for me, I guess.
Yeah.
That's amazing what an impact he was on your life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Coach Fuller, you know, you graduate Needland High School. You go to Tyler and you play football at Tyler Junior College, and you're named as an All-American. And one of your teammates there, you've talked about him earlier, the guy from Port Neches who you met at a track meet, and you thought that's the first guy from Port Neches that you even had an interrelationship with.
Right.
Riley Burnett is a teammate of yours at Tyler Junior College, and that's the podcast partner's uncle.
Oh,
Uncle
yeah.
Riley.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's one of my very best friends. I've been real close to him ever since we got together in junior college, and he's been a close friend of mine all my life, and I look forward to seeing him when we get through this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful thing to say, because Uncle Riley is a wonderful guy, I'm telling you. But, you know, I never knew that my Uncle Riley was the one that broke the curse.
It is.
And stepped across the railroad track and started shaking hands with a Needland Bulldog. You know, they're going to be on me bad about that now, Coach.
<Sure. laughs>
Well, he was the only one brave enough to do it, you know. That.
Well, he's just a good man. But, Buck, I have a question, okay?
Yeah.
But before I ask, Coach, I do want to reveal something.
Okay.
After making All-America at Tyler Junior College, you went on to play football, great football career at University of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Your first year there, you made all Southeast Conference as a safety. Your second year, you were named captain. That is amazing because, let me tell you what, you were a transfer from Tyler Junior College. You didn't come in with the freshman group at Alabama. You didn't come in with that group, but you ascended to be captain of Bear Bryant's University of Alabama football team. Coach, that says so much about your character.
Well,
I'm sure the team had something to do with selecting it back then, or was it Coach? I promise you, Bear Bryant had a lot to do with making you captain, whether you knew it or not, right?
Right. He did everything. But I remember when I went to Alabama, well, when you come in here and you're the only new guy.
Right.
And everybody else knows everybody else. And
I know. Amazing.
That was a really hard thing to do. And when they told me, all right, we're going to have a football meeting. We're going to go have lunch, and then the coaches come down. We'll have a football meeting every day after lunch. So I walked in that meeting room that first day, and the chairs were all filled up and everything. So I just walked in the back and sat down and, you know, listened to the meeting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day I came in, and sure enough, I got there kind of late again, so I just walked in the back and sat down. And then one of the assistant football coaches, it was Gene Stallings, who is...
Yes, sir.
You probably
know
in the coaching profession, was great, become a great head coach and everything. And so he came over and said, Leon, Coach Bryant wants you to sit on the front row of our meetings.
Uh-oh.
And I said, well, you know, there's somebody sitting in all those. He said, I'm just telling you what Coach Bryant said.
Oh, man.
You're either gonna
wow, that's
what,
awesome.
Are man. You going to do what he said or not? I said, I'm moving right to the front row.
Shoot, yeah.
Wow.
So I did. Wow. You know, that was the hardest thing, one of the hardest things I did. But I got there so early, nobody was there but me. And I walked up in the front row, picked out one of those chairs right in front of where Coach Bryant was going to stand, and sat down. And then everybody started coming in. And, of course, I was just a junior college transfer that they didn't know.
Yeah, you
know,
exactly.
Nobody ever said, hey, we have a junior college guy. Nobody ever said who he was. They just didn't know who I was. And so they all came in, stared at me, and walked on by. And, like, you know, I was really in the wrong place. And I just sat there and held on to that chair and wasn't about to get up.
Yeah.
And finally, the old guys came in. They all stared and sat around. They saw us sit down. But they really didn't know who I was. And they were kind of afraid to, I think, say very much. And
yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Gee. So that was how I broke into the front group.
Yeah, well, you told us about how you came about going to Alabama. You talked to Bum Phillips. He said you're going to Alabama. But Bear Bryant, at that time, he was well-known, respected, almost legendary. And then he went on another 20, 25 years, continuing to build on that resume that he put together. And what was it like playing for such an icon as Coach Bear Bryant?
Well, for me, I was scared to death of Coach Bryant. he would just look at you, and it mm-hmm. would almost be, oh, my goodness, what's he going to do now? And you never knew.
Yeah.
But he was such a great coach, and he could get the most out of a player that I've ever seen. I saw him handle different guys different ways. And it always came out to a big advantage for them because he was just able to do that. He was a great football coach and a great coach that handled players and knew more about it than anybody I've ever seen.
He did a lot as a coach. You mentioned, I was going to say a while ago, your second year you were named captain, but you also made all-conference, all-SEC conference on offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
You participated in the North-South All-Star game
mm-hmm.
and the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And that, again, is amazing to me, the adversity that you faced. You weren't the biggest guy. You weren't known. And to come in and be all-conference 2 years, that's just a remarkable history. And I think probably Bear Bryant and Bum Phillips had something to do with it. But I think it was deep in your heart, Coach.
Well,
you're just a winner.
Well,
just
I don't
play
know
hard.
About that. But one of the most amazing things and thing that most people can't understand is I was also an academic All-American.
Okay.
Wow.
Again, let's talk about Uncle Riley. You know what he told me about that? He said, "Oh, Brad," he said, "when you talk to him, don't ask him if he was an academic All-American. He says he is." He said, "but I don't believe it."
I've got my
been a common joke with y'all for a long time, but I know you were.
I've got my plaque hanging on the wall now because nobody believes.
Okay. We need to take a picture of it, Buck. Put it on your website.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah, we could do that. You know, Coach Fuller, we've asked you some things about what was Bum Phillips like as a coach. Brad asked you what was Chief Wilson like as a coach. We asked you what Bear Bryant was like as a coach. But your immediate reactions were, and you're a coach yourself, 45 years experience. For all three of those gentlemen, you said they were great at dealing with people. They were great with, you know, dealing with kids, keeping up with kids, making sure they were prepared, you know, mentally, emotionally, I guess. And I think that says something because all three of those coaches are at the top of the list. And the first things out of your mouth wasn't about X's and O's. It was about how they could adapt to different kids and make them, you know, believe in themselves at the highest levels, you know.
Well, I think that's the value of having a really good coach. They can do more, and they really don't have to do too many X's and O's. They just have you feel that you're going to do your best, and you're striving to do your best, and they can keep you going, and just help you out where you don't do the wrong things. Then you can play.
Yes, sir.
That's a good point, Buck. And when you were, I guess, your senior year, there was a couple well-known teammates you played with at Alabama, and that was Billy Neighbors. I think he was a guard and linebacker who went on to play for Dallas, Leroy Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You remember those two guys?
Oh, do I ever? Yeah, those were great. Those were the great, great players, and they could accomplish things that most people couldn't.
Were they your age, Coach? Were they the same class as you?
They were a little bit younger than I was.
Okay.
We would have been, but I came in as a junior college player, so I came in as a junior.
Okay. I got you.
I missed some of the freshmen and sophomores, you know, getting to play those years with them.
I know growing up down in Southeast Texas, those Dallas Cowboy teams of the 1960s, you had Don Meredith, you had Roger Staubach. Well, we'll talk about Walt Garrison a little later, but Leroy Jordan, just one of the premier middle linebackers of that era. You know, you had Dick Butkus at Chicago, and for Southeast Texas, it was Leroy Jordan at Dallas Cowboys, or Mike Curtis at Baltimore Colts. But I mean, did you have any remembrances about Leroy Jordan, the way he approached the game, approached a huddle?
He was a great player. He kind of, when he came in to Alabama, he had gotten married in high school, and he kind of took him a little while to get started. Then he came in to Alabama, and he kind of had a rough start. But man, was he a player? He could do things that most people couldn't even think of, and it's fun to watch him. And it's great to be able to play with him. He is an outstanding athlete and knew what to do.
Yes, sir. I want to thank you for those thoughts about your experiences at Alabama. I'd like to go next to some of your coaching experiences, Coach, after leaving Alabama, and some of the people that you've had experiences with during your coaching career. I'd like to start off when you were at the University of Wyoming. You coached a Needland native and quarterback, Don Clayton.
Yeah.
And Don Clayton is a 1974 graduate of Needland High School. He went on to a highly respected coaching career at Katy. What are your thoughts on Don Clayton?
Well, I remember we were struggling to recruit good football players, and I thought, well, Needland has always had a good program. So I went back and got the high school films out and looked at him, and Don was playing on the film. And I said, God, he could play for us. You know, and I don't know if ever anybody else recruited him or not, but I sat down and started talking to him, and he seemed a little interested. He couldn't figure out where Wyoming was, and, you know, that's pretty easy to understand. And so I'm going to come by and meet your folks. So I came by, and I jumped up on the porch at his house, And his dad was standing in the door when I jumped up on the porch. And he looked out at me and he said, "Hey," he said, "well, Leon," he said, "what in the hell are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I've come to see if Don will come to Wyoming and play for us." He said, "Where?" You know.
Yeah.
They weren't too happy about all that, but he was a great player. There's no doubt about it, and you didn't have to look very hard to see it. But I guess there were so many good athletes that some of them just get overlooked.
Yes, sir. He became a great coach too, a great Texas high school football coach. Mm-hmm. He was a good one. Mm-hmm. I have another question for you, Coach. And can you tell we like you, Coach? We've got all these. We're big fans of you. When you coached at Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. you coached a running back there named Walt Garrison. Of yep. course, he went on to become Dallas Cowboys and one of the more memorable backs. He was part of the Cowboys Super Bowl champion team.
Right.
What do you remember about Walt?
He was such an outstanding player. He wasn't the biggest guy that you could find, and he wasn't the fastest guy. He just was a great athlete. That mm-hmm. whatever he tried to do came out looking good. And if you put him in a scheme where he had to work with other people, he was fantastic. And fun to watch, fun to see play, and he was just very productive as a player.
Yes, sir. For a lot of listeners that maybe didn't see him in action, but he attracted a lot of fans because he just played all out. I mean, he wasn't the biggest running back on the field,
yeah.
but he was full speed, did his very best. He really got a lot of fans.
He was a fan's favorite.
He was very, very good.
Yeah.
Coach, there's so much to cover in your career. I don't mean to hold things up, but I've got another good question here, okay? You coached at University of Texas, okay, a couple different times as a defensive coordinator. We laughed a little bit before the show about you're used to wearing these headphones on the sidelines as a head college football coach or defensive coordinator. I said, "Which do you prefer?" He said, "Neither." Both of them had problems. But I've got a question. When you were at Texas, one of the players on the team was Earl Campbell. Of course, he won the Heisman Trophy as a running back and went on to the Hall of Fame with the Houston Oilers. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Earl.
Well, what can you say? If you wanted somebody that's so big and strong, not tall-wise, but well-built, big legs, strong legs, and tough, a lot of ability, and just ran over people when they got in his way, he was an amazing player. And the most fun to watch I have ever seen. I enjoyed watching him play. And you didn't have to tell him to do much, except maybe take a blow every now and then so you're ready to go back, you know, if you take him out. But he is just so much fun to watch, and I just enjoy being around him.
Yeah, he seemed to have a good nature about him, too. A kind person, respectful, and just he was a country boy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he made it fun to be in the coaching profession when you had people like him trying to, you know, get out and participate.
Sure, yeah. You know, another one of the players you coached when you were at the University of Texas was Vance Bedford. Vance mm-hmm. Bedford was a graduate of Beaumont Hebert High School.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He played on the Panthers' 1976 state championship team. He was a four-year letterman and captain for the Longhorns. He was drafted into the NFL and went on to a long and distinguished coaching career in colleges and pros.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Vance Bedford?
Well, I recruited Vance.
Okay.
When I went to his house and, you know, and tried to recruit him to come to Wyoming. And he was a, you know, great player. And one that I thought was going to be perfect for any type of defense that you wanted to set up or have him play in. He was an outstanding player and fun to be around, but not very big and wasn't the fastest, just the best player.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well,
Buck, I got another one here. I'm moving on up to 1994, Coach. And Buck, you following with
me? Yes, sir.
Wade Phillips hired you, Coach, to be a defensive backs coach when he was head coach of Denver Broncos.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about Wade Phillips, working for a guy that you almost orphaned when you didn't drop him off at school and didn't even check on him, supervise him.
Yeah, he was, I think he remembers that too. And,
we're going to have to ask him, Buck, when we do that podcast with him.
Yeah. Well, he was a lot of fun. He's a lot like his dad.
Okay.
Great common sense and excellent techniques on things he taught and things he wanted you to do. So I don't know of many coaches that in the country that can hold a light to him. And that means he's a good enough coach that he really paid a lot of attention to what his dad did. He learned from it, and he got better every time he went out.
Yeah. You know, in 2009, Brandon Faircloth was hired as the 19th head coach at Port Neches Groves High School. And at the time, you had several quotes in the paper about Brandon Faircloth because he was coming from Odessa Permian as their offensive coordinator, and you were athletic director at Ector County ISD in Odessa at the time, and you knew something about Brandon Faircloth, but, you know, he's been there ever since. He still holds the position there at P&G.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Brandon Faircloth?
Oh, a good coach. Was a good player, was even better football coach because he handled kids really well. He was a person that knew how to get the most out of his players, and everybody respects him and I think enjoys being around him. Makes it fun to be in a coaching profession to have somebody like him.
Yes, sir.
To work with.
He's doing a good job too at Port Neches Groves right now.
Well, that's great.
Mm. Yes, sir.
I it's hard for somebody from Nederland to say that, but I understand.
You know, we're sort of coming toward the end, Coach Fuller. I do want to give a shout out to your wife, Pam, but she has been so good about making this thing happen. You know, this has been in the works for 2 or 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and she has just been so good about getting this together.
A pleasure.
Even today, as we put it all together, it worked almost seamlessly. Do you have anything to say about your wife or family or anything, Coach Fuller? I just think your wife's just great, you know.
Well, I'm blessed to have her helping me out. If it wouldn't be for her, I would have probably stepped off the porch the wrong way going backwards, you know. So she is
she's
tremendous help to me, and I don't think I could make it without her.
Yes, sir. Coach Fuller and Brad, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I've got something.
Okay.
Coach, since we're kind of getting sentimental with your wife and your family, just thinking back, going through your history, what do you have to say right now to those current Nederland athletes like you were who hope to carry on the winning Bulldog tradition that you and your teammates contributed to way back in the 50s? Do you have anything you'd like to tell those young men and women?
Well, it's something that when you're competing in high school, it's something that helps you grow up, helps you become a well-rounded person. And I think everybody should have to play athletics at some point in time because it means so much to you as you're going through it. And you learn so much at that time. It's great for you. And it really is amazing that I was able to go on past high school and drag myself through junior college and then go to a major college, you know, at Alabama, states away from where I grew up. So you couldn't find anybody more lost and dumbfounded than I was. And to make it through that, it was a great experience for me, and I would suggest to anybody that participate in athletics and go as far as you can go.
Coach, you are a wonderful role model, not just to the kids and your athletes, but to grown men like Buck and I. And I want to close out my part by just saying we're honored to have you today. Coming from especially a man like yourself who has accomplished so much, we appreciate you as a hometown boy, hometown athlete, but more important, as a human being. And knowing you, sir, is a true honor. And thank you so much for being here, Coach.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
But I couldn't think of anything more fun or anything I would rather do than be a football coach and the other coaching jobs that go along with it. For anybody, if they're trying to get through school, And, you know, I was able to go through school without any financial assistance. And if you work at it hard enough, you can get through school and do what you want to do.
Yes, sir.
Well said. I would say, Coach, we're going to record this. And guess what? We are recording this. I can't wait to get it out, Buck.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say to Coach Fuller, as we come to a close, I want to thank you for visiting with us today on Down Trails of Victory podcast. It has been an honor and a privilege to have you here, sir, and to talk about your experiences at Needland and your career. Your life is one of hard work, loyalty, commitment, responsibility, achievement, and you've left a legacy that people from Needland and Mid-County and Southeast Texas can be proud of. I wish you and your family the best, sir, and I thank you once again for being on our show.
Well, it's been an honor and a pleasure, and if there's anything else I can do for you, just let me know.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you, Coach, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. This will bring us to the close of this edition of Down Trails of Victory podcast. I want to thank you, Coach Fuller, Judge Burnett, and our listeners for being with us. Until we meet again, happy trails to you.
This brings us to the close of another Down Trails of Victory podcast. Be sure you check out the Down Trails of Victory Facebook page, where you will find additional content, a schedule of future shows, contact and email information, and an opportunity to purchase the best-selling book, Down Trails of Victory, The Story of Port Neches Groves High School Football. The book can also be found at Wren Boutique at 1224 Port Neches Avenue in Port Neches, Texas. Until we meet again, may the trails you travel be happy and victorious.